And now, it's time for the Freedom Fiends Agenda live call-in show. Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Call in before they get droned. Right now, live on Freedom Fiends Radio.
I was out looking for motorcycle gear today. We're going to be riding a scooter, me and the wife. We're buying her a scooter, but not just the little 50cc poopy girly thing. It's a Yamaha Majesty. They call it a maxi scooter. And that doesn't mean it's just for fat people. It's 400cc's. Its top speed is like 106. So you can take it on the freeway and weave in and out and do all those cool things. And we were looking at helmets. And I realized that there's a nice, interesting proof of anarchy in the helmets, too. And not like anarchy, skull, and crossbones. Michael, you keep saying, yo, are you ready to...
I was testing. Oh, okay. I think we're butt-casting now.
We should be butt-casting in stereo?
Yeah, I don't want you going 106 miles an hour on a scooter. I would really prefer, as your friend and business partner, that you didn't do that.
Oh, we won't do that. We're just saying you can do it. I was just trying to give people a mental image that this isn't the little thing you see girls riding with a basket on the front.
This isn't your little sister's,
from the Whole Foods to,
this isn't your little sister scooter.
Right, right. I'm saying you, if we had to, we could get out of a tight spot. And it's a cruising scooter. You know, we could go to L.A. on it. It's basically a motorcycle that you sit on and is automatic instead of, you know, has a clutch and all that. But we were looking at helmets, trying to price helmets, you know, because obviously helmets are real important. It's not a state law in Texas. In the state of Texas, you...
It's a state law in Nestlandia, and you are a part of Nestlandia because you are a diplomat. I guess you could say you have immunity, so you don't have to obey
problem,
my laws.
Michael. You're trying to use laws, but I don't need a state law. I don't need your state's law. I don't need the United States law. If Texas had a law, I wouldn't need it. If I lived in California, I wouldn't need a law. It's an anarchic law. It's a law that exists because I don't want my brains to be scrambled on a bunch of pavement and have my face laid across 50 feet of space, you know? That's the reason. I don't need somebody with a gun saying, hey, you know, wear that helmet. You know, I'm going to do it anyway because I don't need a gun pointed at me. All I need is the asphalt zooming below me.
Huh.
But my point is that when you buy helmets, you know, zero approval is what you need in Texas. But the lower end is what's called DOT. So that means the United States, I guess, Department of Transportation has approved it. Those are the cheapest, the ones that are just DOT. The slightly above that, they call them, you know, good, better, best. The better helmets are approved by both, you know, the United States DOT and the European regulatory body, the ECE. But
man, you're quoting a lot of alphabet soup stuff at me today when all I asked is, how's your new scooter coming?
No, you told me to you didn't even ask me that. You told me to fill the time.
I'm
not going to fill the time and then stop talking about the subject I started. But
you will after tomorrow because I'll have a switch to turn you off. But go ahead.
Drone me?
Yeah.
Okay. So the point is, the most expensive, the best helmets, the helmets that everybody wears who has the money and the means to, it's not the government approval that makes them that way. It's a private organization. In fact, I think it might even be a charity. I think it's called SNELL. And it's a group of doctors and people in the medical profession who got together, who had mostly lost loved ones due to motorcycle accidents. And they got together and came up with a set of standards and a testing facility all on their own independently. I think they're a nonprofit.
And it's voluntary or they
it's
try to get laws?
Completely voluntary.
That is excellent, man. I hate it when people's kids die because of something that, you know, either they could have prevented themselves or...
And they go to Congress and tell their sob story, and then people take lawn darts off the market. Yeah,
right.
That wasn't the case here.
Lawn darts. Lawn darts were what we had when I was a little kid. We also had model rockets and bow and arrows. Both of those would, you know, the bow and arrows would get you swatted now, and the model rockets would get you drone for having explosive materials. That happened in Casper.
Enemy.
No, it was a guy who had model rockets and weed, and they busted him for both.
Really?
And said that, dude, you have Newsheimer's. We talked about this. I had you read it from the Tribune. They arrested, like, DHS got involved because he had model rockets and weed, and I guess they thought he was being a terrorist and was going to, like, you know, shoot joints into another planet or something.
Right, I remember that, but he got droned?
No. Nobody got droned yet.
Okay.
Here.
Okay. Yeah.
There's no drones.
I thought we tracked some drones flying over your area, but they were from like the University of Colorado or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, my point was these people lost a loved one, you know, and then they decided, hey, let's invent a set of standards that people can use to help make helmets safer. And people will buy them because they make them safer. You know, instead of let's force people to buy these helmets because they must do it for their own good. No, they said, well, some people don't want to die, and let's do the best we can to offer the safest product we can, and we can have companies come to us and we'll test it and say, hey, yeah, this gets our stamp of approval. And if anybody sees that stamp of approval, they'll know that they're buying the safest thing they can.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Man.
Yeah. I hear a little hum. Is that on your end or my end?
Probably. I mean, could go either way, really.
Stop using electricity. It's making hum.
Yeah.
Very slight amounts that only I can probably hear.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to work out the telepathic way of doing this podcast stuff, man.
Yeah. So we're...
Yeah, I'll kill... You want me to kill my mic and see if you still hear the hum?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Here you go.
Yeah, I still hear it. It's on my end. It's on my end. It's probably my dishwasher. My fish washer.
Okay. Yeah. Is that where you wash your fish?
That's
where
I wash my fish. Diet? That is. Probably, you have to wash your fish before you eat them.
You get it lemony fresh from the leftover Dawn.
Oh, you're so zany.
Zany.
So, radio news. Ooh. Two can play at that game. Can people hear my echo now? Let me know if you can hear my echo. You cannot hear it.
I can.
You can?
I can. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, then...
Fenian's, the tasty anarchy snack.
Then I guess we're going to have to take my new effects out for a spin here. Yeah.
Okay.
This is the voice of God. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Nemo Vedati. Nemo Vedati. Nemo Vedati.
Ah, you don't have a vocoder, do you?
Somewhere in here there is a vocoder. I can't find it. There's so many buttons on the knob.
It's coder. It codes your voice.
Oh, I've got a filter too, so I can be all Beastie Boys on it. So what you want?
Turn it into really
Was it really loud?
Hurts
okay, sorry.
My kitty ears. It hurts my kitty ears, Nemo Vedati.
Too many knobs.
Radio.
That's not what your mom said, Mark.
Radio.
Ah.
Yo.
Okay. Okay, I think we need to tone it down a little bit.
Fenians.
Come on. You know, real ghetto.
Fenians. Yeah.
They are the tape. Maybe that should be our next
sponsor.
No, our next
corporate sponsor.
What do they call it? Merch. Our next merchandising opportunity.
Fenians.
Nah,
because then the FDA would get involved, man. I don't want to sell food.
No, we can do it all agorist, like stateless sweets.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
We can do like Fenians. What would they be made
of? Fenians. I don't know, man.
You don't know? All right.
I'm trying to deal with this hum. I'm like under the hood. No.
Don't worry about that.
Is it tolerable, fiends? Let us go. Let us know about the hum. Boy, this is like we just got on radio for the first time. We are not going to sound like this when we're on radio for the first time. We are. I just want to talk about radio, man. I just want to have a radio meeting with you and let the fiends listen. Hopefully.
G-Rizzle says he hears no hum, or maybe he says he hears ho-hum, like we're not that great.
No hum.
Ho-hum.
You're ho-hum. Yeah. I wrote an ad for Ben Quaker today. So what I did this morning was we get 3 minutes of ad time per hour on our radio show when it starts. And I think it's going to start on 420. That's a possibility. It's looking that way, maybe.
All right.
Which is International Marijuana Day.
Marijuana.
It's also Hitler's birthday, and which we don't celebrate. And it's also the anniversary of the Columbine shooting, which we don't celebrate. But we do celebrate International Marijuana Day.
Marijuana Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of ads that we've done over the years. And since we only get 3 minutes per hour, I picked the 6 minutes that we're going to have. And... Didn't consult with Nima. Actually tried to last night. I was talking to Nima on the phone, and he was in a really bad mood. And then he said he'd call me.
He said he'd call me back,
and he didn't. So I just got up at 8 a.m. and did it. So the ads.
Did you feel scorned?
No.
Were you a Michael Scorned?
I'm not a Michael Scorned because we have a relationship such that you very rarely say, hey, you didn't ask me about that, that many thousands of hours of free work you did while I was picking scooters and planning my sea cruise.
Not planning my sea cruise.
You it's are. You're, for a, me. You're doing pretty well for a poor guy, man. You're buying a scooter and you're going on a sea cruise with your wife.
Well, the scooter is a money saver, man. It's because we would rather have a nice scooter for the little amount of loan we could get than a crappy car. Because we've gone through, what, two crappy cars now? We've had two cars break down that we've had to sell to junkyards in the past 3 months. And so why are we going to hustle our butts off and
but you're able to do it
and get into debt to buy a crappy car when we could, for the same amount of money, buy like a really nice scooter?
But you're able to do it, and that's a good thing. There's a lot of people that are poor that if they had a little money, it could save them money and make them less poor, but they can't get it. But you you either have good credit or you know someone who does, and that's a good thing.
Don't have good credit at all.
You have loving relatives.
We do, but we didn't have anybody co-sign it. We did not have a co-sign at all. None of that.
So
we had to put up the Cadillac as collateral. We got lucky, basically, is what it is.
Huh.
So
you are going on a sea cruise, though.
Yeah, and it's really for the benefit. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say this in public. Yes, I'm going on a sea cruise.
Why shouldn't you say that in public?
I should say I'm going on a sea cruise in public. Oh, look at that awesome scooter somebody put on the chat.
I know. What shouldn't you say when you're going? I never say publicly when I'm going to be out of town.
Well, okay, so you're asking me to say in public what I just said I shouldn't say in public. So
when you're going to be out of town?
I'm not going to give you an answer. What do you expect?
People may not know because, you know, sometimes the fiends are pre-recorded. Sometimes Ben fills in, and sometimes you're in the FEMA camp.
But we are live.
You're in the NEMA camp.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that a cruise is not something I need in my life right now.
It's actually a burden for you, isn't it?
I don't want to say that either because it makes my wife really sad when I say things like that. Really, really, really sad. You know, I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. But if I were the one calling the shots, I would not take a cruise this April because it's going to, you know, it takes a week of work away from me, and I'm gonna be busting my ass that the weekend after. I've got two weddings to do, which means I'm going to have to get everything done a week ahead of time, and sometimes it's hard to communicate with people, and people make last-minute changes. So it's going to be tough. But, you know, it's really important for the family. My father-in-law is the one who's paying for it, and he that's one of the main things he can do. You know, he's a disabled vet, and, you know, he doesn't have a lot of mobility, so he likes to sit on the top of a giant boat and look at the ocean and travel, you know, throughout the country and the world that way. I guess he can't travel throughout the country, but throughout the region that way, you know?
I've traveled the world, and now I like to sit and travel the world through the powerful telescope of the internet, looking at pictures and speaking over a microphone. And when I first got married, it kind of bummed my wife out. Like, yeah, I'll go on this vacation. But she is so over it. And like, your wife may be eventually. She may go, oh, my husband is home making money, doing great stuff, helping the world, taking care of the baby when you have one. And he doesn't want to go on lots of vacations. But, you know, it's better than a husband you can't find. And that's what a lot of wives have.
True that. Somebody in the chat room says I should seastead a cruise ship. If I grow weed on it, I'll have mixed my labor with the hull. Then it'll be mine. I've had that idea before, I still wonder why that doesn't exist in the market. Maybe there's something I'm missing, some kind of regulatory or get Coast Guard gooned. I don't know, but I've always wondered. You know, there's gambling cruises, and then on most mainstream cruises, like the one I'm going on, as soon as you're in international waters, they open up like the duty-free stores, and you can get like Cuban cigars and a lot of things that you can't get in the
States.
That's
weird, because that means that they have them in port,
right,
where they're illegal, right, and they're locked up. So does that mean that I can have a kilo of heroin as long as it's
and
in
lock
a safe
it up? Maybe.
That it's legal?
I think you also have to be a giant corporate entity and scratch the right backs in Congress is probably the caveat with that one.
Yeah.
That's how the world works, man. You can do anything. You have the freedom to do anything if you got enough money to pay the people who selectively enforce the state's laws.
True.
Then you can do anything you want.
Yeah. And what's, I think someone was talking about in the chat book was like, basically squatting, not seasteading, steading. Like you plant some weed on the cruise you're paying to be
it's
on.
It's mine, man. And the Lockean sense. Didn't you read John Locke? Yeah, I homesteaded.
That sounds more like like Occupy Wall Street thinking. Not that the person in the, I think they were kidding, actually.
Occupy Royal Caribbean. Yeah, that's my next thing.
Is it the, weren't you originally booked on the one that got stranded?
We were, yeah, okay. Yeah, I What's guess that's called? Another little slightly pod-worthy thing. The Triumph. Was the name of the cruise
the
ship
ironically named Triumph?
The Triumph, yes.
The floating sea turd internment camp by
hubris.
Default.
Oh, yes. The hubris! Yeah, but it was the Triumph. What's going on with that lately? I don't follow whatever the talking heads talk about, so it's been on the bottom of my watch on the news list.
They finally got back, and then there's some kind of lawsuits. I don't know if they're class action or individual, but yeah.
Okay. Huh. Yeah, man. So anyway, I'll be on a cruise for a week, and I'm sure I'll have a blast, and I really appreciate the father-in-law for that. But, you know, it's kind of a family obligation. It's not a, screw you guys, I'm going on a cruise.
You know, I don't do family obligations. Not saying you shouldn't, but I literally don't.
Well, I love my family, and they're a big support system for us. And part of the reason we moved back to Texas was so my wife could be with her family. So I'm not going to, like, pick up and move everything and be like, what? Fuck these people.
You know? Ooh, you cussed.
Yeah, I thought this was a cussing episode.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. I thought we were still practicing.
All right, okay.
I don't know. You know what? I don't know if I'm going to be able to turn it on and off, because I've been practicing not cussing and doing it around the house and saying things like, holy free holies instead of shit.
And fudgesicles.
And it's kind of fun and making up new terms. And I don't know if I can turn it on and off. I think I'm just going to have to become a cuss-free fiend to be on radio.
Okay. Do a 12-step program. You could do like Ned Flanders.
But it'll be weird because if you don't have to do that and you can turn it on and off, it's going to be like having a in-the-room business partner who drinks when you don't. Because you're going to be cussing, and I'm going to be going, oh, wait, can I turn it on or off? Maybe I'll ask you to make the sacrifice and stop cussing.
I thought in AA, though, that once you're through with the steps, you can go anywhere and do anything, right? That whole don't drink around me, or I can't go to bars. I mean, it should be the same with cussing, right? You should be able to, like, go in and cussers and still not
okay,
cuss.
Okay, well, I'm in early recovery from cussing. Okay, I've had a few slips, I think, in the past 10 minutes. But yeah. I don't know if that's really accurate what you said about AA. I don't know if it's you do the 12 steps and then you're bulletproof. It's more like, I mean, I went and played in bands in bars before I'd gone through all the 12 steps formally. And but I didn't go hang out in bars. I would disrecommend anybody who's a recovering alcoholic to hang out in bars when they don't have a reason to be there. If they're doing, you know, if they're DJing, if they're playing in a band, if they're, you know, working in the bar, even bartending. I know recovering alcoholic bartenders, but which actually I would think would make it harder to stay sober, but it makes it easier to stay sober for some people, because when you're sober, you see what idiots people are drunk, and you're dealing with them all day.
Mm, I could see that. Yeah. So to recover from cussing, do you have to apologize to everyone you cussed at? That wasn't me. That was Crazy Rich. Thank you, Crazy Rich, from the chat room.
That's good. I have to make amends to everyone I've ever cussed to. I don't think I'd have time to do anything else. That would take my life.
Because it'd be literally everybody you've ever spoken to.
Yeah, I don't really think... I know we're joking about it, but I'm thinking about it. I'm like, I don't really think the 12-step model works with this, because I don't think cussing harms me. And I think anyone it harms, they shouldn't be around me. And they shouldn't be listening to us, and we have warnings on stuff. So, F you, I'm going home and cussing.
Okay, fair enough.
Although that's what alcoholics say. Alcoholics say, I don't need to make amends. Those people shouldn't have hung out with me when I beat them up and wrecked their car. But cussing's different. Cussing, I blame the state, and I really blame the church, which influenced the state, and then the church kind of waned and the state took over. But that's from church and days.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we've talked about that at length before, but why would the church, though? I mean, why would the church feel some kind of need for people not to cuss? I guess I've never understood that part. Like,
well,
I've
the cussing,
the
there's different
sort of the state part, but
there's different kinds of cussing. The church is mainly concerned with taking the Lord's name in vain.
Ah, okay.
Which you can do on radio. Which is a sin. You can say damn. You can probably say God on radio. You can probably say God damn once in a while.
You can say ah oh, God or oh Jesus.
You could take the Lord's name in vain according to the church without cussing. You know, you could say, I am absolutely sure there is no God and Jesus was just a common man. That's tame language, but that is taking the Lord's name in vain, absolutely.
Okay. Well,
to a Christian.
I thought that was the point of Christianity, right? Is to a Christian, you know. If I'm not a Christian, I don't have to refrain from taking the Lord's name in vain, do I?
Well, you know, cussing didn't always exist. I think we should read about swear words a little bit. It's kind of interesting. There was a time when there were no swear words.
I can see that. The words F and S and B.
Yeah. Yeah, like the F word was not a cuss. The F word was not a cuss word originally. It actually is from a German word which means to strike or penetrate.
Ah, of course it would be German, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Scheiße.
Let me send you this. I really like the cartoon.
Now, okay. Here's a question. Can you cuss in other languages
on radio? I've wondered about that too, and I don't know that you can because there's a lot of people that speak any given language in a given geographic region. So,
but it's not on the. None of them are on the list of disapproved words or never used words.
You know,
so you'd have to, I guess, take the.
You still don't interest. Understand.
Oh, I understand.
I think we need to read the FCC article on this.
No,
Yes, we do. Because what you don't understand is that.
See, you're like my mom. You think I'm arguing for. You think I'm arguing for ways to get out of this? I'm not. I'm trying to point out the inconsistencies because that's kind of what the show's about.
Okay, but I need a button or a switch to know when you're challenging the state and when you're discussing what we can do on radio.
If I'm on the show, I'm challenging the state. If we're on the phone and we're not live, I'm discussing what we can or can't do on the radio.
Okay.
That's the thing.
If it's in the public eye,
we're performing.
I don't
right?
feel that way because I feel like our performing is an intimate discussion between two people that we happen to let people in on.
It is. But I don't know. I have trouble with that because, not that I'm in character, but our front facing. Position should still be a little bit more polished. And
so you're faking and being dishonest, and I'm telling the truth.
It's not faking. It's a difference in register, right? You talk to your mom in a different way than you talk to your drinking buddy. That's register. And it's the same thing as on camera. I'm not going to laugh while I'm reading a story. I might laugh during crosstalk. That's not faking. You know, even if I find a story I'm reading hilarious, I'm not going to laugh because it's not professional. It's about register. So when I've got a microphone in front of me that's a Shure SM58, that changes the way my language flows. Just like if I'm talking to you on my cell phone while I'm driving, that's going to change the way I talk to you. It's not a lie versus fake, you know, or truth versus lies, I don't think.
Yeah.
But you think I'm lying? You think I'm fake when I'm on air?
I don't know. I think I'm the same person on air with the same register as I am when I'm talking to you or Ben on the phone. Which is why I often say, man, we should be recording this. Which kind of works. I mean, you know, you're more of a performer. You're a rapper. You do kind of a thing. You know, you did TV. That was you, but it wasn't totally you. You know what
mm-hmm,
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. I guess I'm your straight man. I don't laugh at your jokes as often as you laugh at mine, and yours are funny.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just a more serious guy, maybe, man. I don't know. Cocodrill. Tranny
you
hookers.
Are,
tranny
you
hookers.
Are definitely a more serious guy. I will totally grant you that, yeah.
Serious guys get up in the morning and get stuff done.
That's true. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
You're buying scooters and booking sea cruises.
I have not done one bit of work on that cruise. That cruise is not me. I will not take responsibility for it.
Yeah.
I have neglected to decline it. It would be the most responsibility I would ever take.
I want to go more on cursing and what's wrong with me and you, which I don't know. That's not what we're talking about, is it?
If you want to talk about it, man.
No, I don't want to get heavy here, man. I want to I do want to talk about cussing, though, and I want to read part of the FCC thing. And what I was trying to get a word in edgewise about 18 minutes ago was there's not a list. You said, well, those words aren't on the list. That thing, the seven words you can't say on television, that's basically that's a song. That's a bit. That's something on a record right. from the 60s.
Yeah, I know that.
It's not a list. Yeah, I'm looking at the FCC site on regulation of obscenity, indecency, and profanity. There's no list on this page.
Ah, okay.
That's what I'm saying. I tried to say that, and you went off on denigrating my personality flaws.
You gave me a list of more than that, and I never thought that that was the only list.
I gave you a list.
Not once in my life. What I thought was that it was words like this or words including but not limited to this.
That's pretty much it. And that list is a list given to me by a 10-year seasoned radio broadcaster, Ian Freeman. I said, what can you say and what can't you say? And we talked for about 10 minutes, and that's what we came up with.
Okay.
And the not limited to and not including only is in that last part of it. You have to avoid prurient things or appeal to the lowest common denominator.
So that list we read was the free talk live list of words that you can't say.
Yeah, but that also includes, Ian said, you have to avoid prurient things or appeal to the lowest common denominator, which I thought your response was really funny of appeal to the lowest common denominator. I thought that was the business model of radio.
I did.
Which is friggin' funny, man. And it's true. Yeah. I mean, you know, you think about like, what's the guy? Who's the guy? The shock jock, Howard Stern. I mean,
his
business model was literally... Yeah. It was basically prurient things and appeal to the lowest common denominator. But
let's listen to this guest stick a 12-inch kielbasa down her.
But
her
where
throat.
Can you hear him now? Not on radio. He's on XM satellite, man.
Okay, that's true.
He fought with the FCC for 25 years on that, and
he got sick.
They didn't change, and he went over to XM.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. Let's read some of this. Okay. I want to do a teaching hospital thing here and laugh at the state. Read the FCC thing I just sent you.
All right. Did you pigeon it to me?
Yeah. Just read it until we can read it. It's not that long. You can read it.
Well, it's fun to pick out the gov speak because it's so silly. So I just got to let this load up.
There's also times that you can cuss on radio, but we're not going to be on during those times. It's basically when little kids are asleep.
Ah, okay. So, this is FCC.gov is getting a new website. Let's tell them what we think so we can help shape the future.
They want you to?
That's what they say, yeah.
Don't even go near
tell
that.
Tell us what
don't
you
do,
think.
Don't even think about it.
Okay. So,
the Fiends, not on radio.
No radio. Okay. So, the regulation of obscenity, indecency, and profanity. It is a violation of federal law to air obscene programming at any time. It is also a violation of federal law to broadcast indecent or profane programming during certain hours.
Now, let's stop and analyze those two. Those are two different things. Obscene
and
programming could have no words in it at all. If you taped yourself boning your wife, like I used to with my wife, when we put it on the internet, if somebody broadcast that on the air, that could have been shut down, even if there's no words in it other than yes, 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 yes.
Well, it's so completely subjective too. Like, I don't know, man. I find shows where people torture brown people by stomping on their balls,
right.
like 24. I find that obscene.
Right.
You know, I find watching Newt Gingrich speak obscene, but nobody gives him an FCC slap on the wrist whenever he has a microphone or his face on TV.
Yes, and when we are the libertarian dictators of the world, we'll have a different FCC regulation. So the second part
it'll
of that...
It'll be the Fiend Communication Commission?
Yes,
at that point.
The second part of that, there'll be a fair...
I also stole that from Crazy Rich. He's our good writer today.
There'll be an equal time law that every radio broadcast in the world has to have 3 minutes per hour of Fiends ads for free.
Okay.
Okay, so the second part of this is the list of words stuff. It is also a violation.
We didn't break down the... is a violation of federal law to broadcast indecent or profane programming during certain hours. And then I guess it goes on.
No. At any time. It is a violation...
The second sentence in the first paragraph.
But the first sentence. Sentence. It is a violation of federal law to air obscene programming at any time. So if you played a tape of someone get boning at 4 in the morning... that would be the station could lose their license, and that's how they do it.
So obscene is at any time, but indecent or profane you can do during certain hours?
Right. You can cuss on the radio between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. of local time where the broadcast is.
Which was a time slot we were looking at.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, so if we,
partially for this reason.
So if we had gotten from midnight to 2 in the morning, we could have said all the F's and T's we wanted to.
We could legally, but a lot of stations wouldn't take you.
Ah, okay.
Because they would have to deal with all of their advert, you know, all of their Christian Shereen listeners calling them up and saying, I heard the F word when I was up peeing, peeplicating last night.
Kind of like how I could play till we all skeet, 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 skeet at a wedding, but it probably wouldn't be in good taste.
Right. But you could probably say skeet on the air and get away with it.
Because you'd just be talking about Skeet Ulrich.
Well, because no one really knows what skeet means outside
They do now, though, ever since the Chris Rock bit. See, once Chris Rock did the bit about how white people don't know what skeet is, they all looked on Urban Dictionary and said, honey, what is skeet?
What is this skeet of which you speak? Yeah. All right, let's read on.
Okay, okay. Congress has given the Federal Communications Commission the responsibility for administratively enforcing the law that governs these types of broadcast. Among other things, the FCC has authority to issue civil monetary penalties, revoke a license, and deny a renewal application.
I think "puplicated" has a really good example of a sentence here that would be, what's the thing? One thing but not, would it be obscene but not cussing, not profane.
Okay.
I think anything that they consider profane, anything obscene would also be profane, but not everything that's profane or indecent would be obscene.
Right.
But this sentence that he put in here, I like a dirty butt plug in my ginger ale. There's no cuss words in that. None at all. But I really believe that that would fall under obscene language and would not be suitable at any time on the radio.
Right, right. If the carpet matched the drapes, that is.
That's kind of iffy. I think I've heard that on radio. Definitely heard it on TV.
Yeah.
I think TV gets away with more these days because they have more money. Although the radio gets away with nonstop criticizing the government, which they don't dare do on the TV.
Well, isn't that just it, though? I mean, in the first, we're only two sentences into this.
You're already disgusted. I know.
Well, I'm completely disgusted. But also, I mean, these are completely vague things. And subjective, I guess, not vague, but completely subjective. What's obscene to one person or indecent or profane to one person could be completely different across the spectrum. And people used to say, well, it's community standards, but why should a geographical area of 300 million people have anything close to one community that gets to have its one set of standards? That just boggles my mind, man. I mean, I live in one city, and there are several, you know, dozens or hundreds of different communities of people here that have different sets of standards.
Well, a couple interesting things about that. One is that later this year, the FCC is opening up its long-standing ban on 100-watt radio licenses. Mm-hmm. And basically, every lefty in the country is applying for one of those right now. Every lefty neighborhood group. And there's going to be a lot of that. But, you know.
Yeah, I've seen lefty bumper stickers that say, the airwaves are ours, or we need to take back the airwaves, or whatever the case is.
Well, then they need to make programming that's great, and they can't.
What's the problem in their brain that makes them think that they don't have the ultimate power already? Like, that they're so disenfranchised.
I know.
These statists and these lefties. I mean, the world is theirs, right?
I heard
this horrible world that we're living in is all their fault.
And I heard one today about the Department of Justice responding to allegations that they weren't prosecuting civil rights cases where whites were the victims. And their basic response was like, the Civil Rights Act of 1963 does not apply to whites. That was basically their answer.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that, but, you know, maybe that's it.
No, but they said that. Someone high up in DOJ, that was their official response.
But the Civil Rights Act obviously doesn't say anything about excluding
whites.
No,
it basically says all people shall be treated equally,
right.
Which was the kind of language they put in things back then.
Right, right.
But,
which I guess that just goes to show that even though I'm sitting here complaining about the word obscene, profane, and indecent because they're vague or subjective, all people is by no means, you know, the word itself, the phrasing itself, that's not objective or subjective. That's not vague. That's obvious. It's all people, but they still twist it. They still twist it.
I said it before. I'll say it again. I think lefties would love it if it were illegal to criticize Obama, and there was nothing but nonstop cussing and obscenity and recordings of gay butt sex on the radio,
or clam bumping. Either way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that profane or indecent?
I don't know. We're not on radio yet.
It was certainly prurient.
I was trying to be radio-like, but you said, come on, Michael, everyone's doing it. We're on the internet still. You can cuss.
Yeah, that's my peer pressure.
So let's read more of this wonderful piece of...
Okay. Well, first, okay, so I want to go back to that last sentence I read before we went on that tangent.
Are we even out of the first paragraph?
We are not. That's how horrible it is.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So, and I guess this isn't the official language. You know, this is their front-facing language that they give to people. This
it's
is on
not
their
the
official
law.
Website.
It's not, you know, there's probably, the, there's probably the 2,000 pages of legalese to back this up. This is the summary of it.
Yeah. So, yeah, among other things, the FCC has authority to issue civil monetary penalties, revoke a license, and deny a renewal application. How is that not infringing on... I mean, Congress empowered them. It says here earlier, Congress has empowered the Federal Communications... And they are saying that they can infringe on your speech. How is that not... I mean, that is the literal definition of the First Amendment, is Congress shall make no law. And here they did. They obviously had something that made the Federal Communications Commission think they had this power, and what the Federal Communications Commission is doing is infringing by invoking civil monetary penalties, revoking licenses, and denying a renewal application.
Well, you know, the FCC started in 1934. When did the Federal Reserve start?
1913,
yeah,
I believe.
And actually, before the FCC had purview, was created, the purview of this was under the Department, the Department of Commerce, which was about a couple years after the Fed. And a lot of theories, there's a lot of coincidences, if this theory isn't true, that a lot of the grab of federal power of doing unconstitutional things started with the Federal Reserve, and the big flood of it started right after that. Because the Federal Reserve, I mean, really, okay, like income tax, you want to take it to that. I'm sure things happened that were unconstitutional the day after the Constitution was signed. And, you know, definitely the, what was that battle? The Whiskey Rebellion. But the real institutionalized FedGov didn't really happen until there was income tax in the Federal Reserve. Now, when did the income tax start?
I thought it was around the same time. Maybe it was 1917. Maybe it was right after World War One. I should know this. It's sometime between 1910 and 1920. It was a teens.
Well, to pay for the American Civil War, the U.S. government imposed its first personal income tax in 1861. In 1864, Democrats in Congress passed the Wilson-Gorham Tariff, which was the first peacetime income tax. The rate was 2% on income over $4,000. 2%. In 1913, the 16th Amendment of the United States that was it. 1913 was when it became institutionalized. When was the Federal Reserve? It was this year, wasn't it? 1813?
According to Wikipedia, the Federal Reserve System, central banking system of the United States, was created on December 23rd, 1913. So almost 1914.
All right. That's the year the income tax started.
Okay.
As an amendment. Let's see what... Okay, what was... This was February 3rd, 1913. When was the Federal Reserve?
December 23rd, 1913.
Not that these things happen on a particular hour. I mean, you know, they've been working on it for years and finally... So, yeah, it all happened the same year. And then the FCC... Let's see. Radio was originally... Yeah, I don't want to fall down too many wormholes.
So at the end of this year...
We don't need to get Alex Jonesy on this. But
right, but at the end of this year, it'll be the 100th anniversary.
Well, it's supposed to get defunded at the end of 100 years and have to be refunded, too.
The Federal Reserve?
Yeah,
really?
I'm sure they'll refund it.
Okay, so who...
Like, they need us to fund it.
Right, I thought they were the funders.
I know.
They're the ones who fund us.
Well, it has
us.
To be reauthorized. By Congress.
Okay.
And Congress will go, if we don't refund this, our checks are going to bounce. Our fake checks with fake money. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So how did we get on? Oh, you're FCC.
you're agitated today. I'm mellow. I mean, a few minutes ago, you were saying like, Michael, you take life really seriously, and I don't. But today, I think I sound. After we got over our cussing bump, I think our fucking cussing bump, I sound really mellow, and you sound like, all this stuff the government's doing, it's really upsetting me.
Okay.
It's okay. But you know. Part of the fiends is that overall we're less like that than a lot of other shows. I was reading Breitbart.com yesterday, and I was reading some article about something horrible that the government did and reading the comments on it. And, you know, the ones that weren't saying, I'm cleaning my rifle right now, were saying, like, over and over and over, like, I'm so depressed about all this. I just can't be happy anymore. Every time I turn on the news, I get depressed. And I'm thinking, like, that's why we're fiends, so we don't get depressed, man, to laugh at this stuff. And I think a lot of talk radio does show the truth to people and then stirs them up and overstimulates their limbic system. And the fiends are kind of like a really mellow little poor man speedball that kind of stimulates you and relaxes you at the same time.
Well, there's a distinction there. I wasn't saying you take that kind of stuff seriously. I mean, because we are fiends. Our thing is laughing at the state, but you take your work very seriously, and that's not a bad thing. I wasn't trying to say that as a knock, man. I mean, your passion is what has brought the fiends to where they are today, man. It was a compliment, not I wasn't making fun of you. Also, Publicated says that the Federal Reserve went into effect actually in 1914. I can't find that here on the wiki page, but I mean the end of 1913 or 1914, I guess that makes sense to me. So who cares? It was before World War One, and it caused a lot.
Well,
of
Alex Jones has footage of it, I think, but you know, we don't get that detailed.
He went and yelled at them at Jekyll Island with the bullhorn.
Yes, Jekyll Island with the bullhorn, but it was one of those mechanic, just a bullhorn. It's just like a rolled up piece of hard cardboard.
Right,
it's not
right.
Electronic.
The old school, like the old football ones. The male cheerleaders would have. Yeah.
Excuse me, gentlemen. I would most enjoy if you would stop printing a centralized currency right now.
Or it will end up in fisticuffs, I do say. Remember when he challenged Piers Morgan to fisticuffs?
Yeah.
Did he say boxing or did he say fisticuffs?
He said boxing, but...
okay. Piers, I could just see Alex Jones.
Alex Jones, I could see, you know, now that he's lost a little weight, if he got a tiny bit more in shape, I could totally see him in one of those 1890s boxing outfits with the, like, kind of cummerbund that goes up and then you're shirtless, but it goes up above your navel, and wearing, like, long leather boots that up and, like, a handlebar mustache and holding his arms out kind of at square angles.
Right degree angles.
Yes.
Yeah, 90-degree angles. Yeah. Oh, man. Somebody should Photoshop that. That'll be the next Fiends project.
There we go.
Alex Jones is an old-time 1910 boxer.
Yeah. I like that we can say stuff and then sometimes people do it. Not that they're doing our bidding, but it's like we used to do a lot of that kind of stuff, or I used to, and now we're too busy doing all the other fiend stuff, and we have a lot of fiends who have talents, and we can just say, I'd like to see that, and then we see it. And they come up with original ones like that Obama getting our Bitcoin thing back. Richard, that was amazing.
Great. That was great.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, Obama can just say, I want to create a new cabinet, and the next day they're like wheeling office stuff in and wiring something for the internet and putting up satellite dishes and bringing them a platter full of Comrexes. But you know, we can't do that, but we can get some help with art.
A platter of Comrexes. That's what you dream about at night. It's not like a platter of grapes and naked women to peel them for you.
I know.
It's naked women unwrapping audio gear.
It is. I was trying to think of the word palette, but actually platter is better. Your Comrex, sir, lifting the silver cover. Yeah.
Fresh. Yeah. And there'll be room temperature instead of 20 below zero, like when you get gear now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Silver, man.
We should think of that should be a cue, the clicking of the silver.
I'll do it live, though.
It'll make us do.
I don't think it should be. Oh, but not recorded. I want to be able to do it.
Because
it kind of feels regal, kind of like, let it be written, let it be done.
Well, it'd be more regal if it sounded like you had a stack of coins, like 20 or 30 high, and you were just picking them up and letting them drop.
That'd be dangerous, man. You don't know how heavy 5 ounces of silver feels, man. I put them in a sock just to see what would happen. And swung it like really lightly and hit my arm with it. And it really hurt. You could literally kill someone with one blow if you put these two bars.
If you hit them in the right spot.
I mean, do people beat people in prison with a, you know, bar of soap in a sock? Mm. Oh, I sent you something today that's in a sock, and it's a clean sock. I want you to know when you get it.
I don't want to know what it is. I'm sorry.
No, it's it's adapters.
I'll wash it first.
It's XLR to quarter-inch adapters.
Okay. Thank you.
But I didn't want it to, like, poke out through the envelope, so I put it in a sock. Because I'm phasing out my old socks. I got new socks. But it is clean, just so you know.
It's a vintage Michael Dean. It's a collector's item.
Own a piece of Fiend's history. Buy Michael's socks on eBay.
There's actually some of my genetic material left over in the fungal carcass.
Hey, ew, I don't have foot fungus. But, Alex Jones sold one of his Sennheiser mics used for $995 on eBay, and it sold. And that's the list price of them. Like, he probably bought it for less than that, used it for a year, and then sold it as memorabilia. We're not to that point yet, but I did sell the Fiend's tube preamp, the little baby tube preamp that I used for many episodes, to a Fiend fan who was happy to have a piece of Fiend's memorabilia. And I am selling a mixer, my old mixer, on the Freedom Fiends blog, if you want to go on there. It's $90 postpaid in America. And we did Fiends episode 10 through 184 with it. We did some of the music for Guns and Weed with it. And I did all of the Right Arm of Wyoming CD with it. And it still works. So it's a good podcast mixer with USB out. It only works with Windows 7 or Mac OS X. That's the downside. Which is why we bought a new mixer.
Right, right.
So back to the Federal Caca Commission.
I forgot about them. Okay.
You were happy. Right. You're happy to forget about them.
I was. I was slightly in a better mood. Not that I'm in a bad mood. I'm actually in a good mood. I want my scooter to be here, and I want my gear to be around, and I want to wear it, and I want to ride.
You're two things away from perfection.
I am.
You know, I was thinking about, like, that kind of sounds materialistic, but I personally am kind of an ascetic. You know, I live kind of like a monk. I don't, I sleep on a nice bed, and I have decentish casual clothes, and I don't starve because I'm married to someone who makes sure that those things don't happen like they would if I was left to my own devices. But all the money that I spend, the only thing I spend money on other than guns, which I'm not spending any more money on because you can't buy them anymore anyway. The only thing I spend money on anymore is stuff to get our thoughts out to the world. And I have many thousands of dollars worth of that. But, you know, I'm wearing sneakers that are 3 years old.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, I've thought of myself that way before, too, and people say that. But I kind of don't think you are, you know, monk-like or an aesthetic if you it's just different things that you like, right? I mean, the people who buy really nice stuff, you know, fancy scotch, fancy cigars, fancy cars. It's because that's what they dig, you know. You buy nice microphones, you buy nice mixers, and nice computers because that's what you like.
No, I'm on a mission, and mine's more important than that. Because it's really, it's for other people more than for me. But of the people, you know, I do have respect for the people you're talking about. The people I kind of don't have respect for are people that get a lot of money somehow, probably without working too hard for it or stealing it, and just want to spend money for the sake of spending money and don't really have a love or an art of anything. Like, there is an art to loving cigars, and someone who spends all their money on humidors and cigars and traveling to Cuba, I'm all for it. But someone who just wants to go out and buy stuff that catches their eye and doesn't really have a focus on it, I have a little less respect for.
Okay.
You got to have a passion in life, and you got to be good at something.
Why?
You don't gotta.
Why do you have to? What if your passion is being passionless?
Then I guess they do need someone to build the roads.
they need someone who's good enough for government work.
Or in Lib Perry, you'd still need someone whose passion is to build the roads. I guess that could be a passion.
You would. Yeah.
Even though it's not as important as my passions.
Yeah.
Which is touching the world in special places. Let's get back to the FCC thing, but do you want to play some music and go duplicate and stuff? I don't need to yet. We could go a few more minutes.
I don't need to yet. We'll go a few more minutes, and when you're talking for a chunk, I'll find a song to play.
All right. Read some more federal.
Yeah. All right. So
creamy radio audio commission tips.
In addition to all those horrible things the FCC can do to you, a federal district court may impose fines and or imprisonment for up to 2 years on those who are convicted of criminal violations of the law. I didn't know that. I didn't know you could go to prison for things that come out of your mouth in America.
Yep.
But that's what this says.
Interestingly, though, and this is one of the things the liberals complain about a lot, is it's an FCC regulation that you can't say an untruth on the radio, but it's not a law.
Mm.
And why they don't like that is they feel that Alex Jones and people like that are lying about everything, and they want to arrest them and put them in a cage.
Right.
For saying that Obama kills brown babies and he is secretly funding, have you heard this one that the people that killed the Marines in Benghazi were the people that Obama armed to take down Gaddafi?
Yeah, I mean, that's true, right? I mean, as far as I know, it was the rebels that were upset because, and they were the same rebels who we helped defeat Gaddafi. Yeah,
right.
I mean, if you said that
on the radio, the liberals would like to have you arrested because they say it's not true, and you can't personally.
Really,
you Nima cannot prove that.
I thought you could. I mean, we funded the opposition. The opposition was the people who rioted in Benghazi.
We've been spending all our money on gear, man.
American foreign policy wonks and the American foreign policy actors were the ones who supported the rebellion, which started in Benghazi or was, you know, centered in Benghazi.
Okay, but pick anything that's said by any non-lefty, you know, either libertarian or Republican talk radio host. You know, probably 20 minutes of what they say in an hour is conjecture, but right. Probably based on truth or some of it.
Well, I guess one good example would maybe be the death penalties, right? In the run-up to Obamacare, right-wingers were like, you know, if you do this, there's going to be rationing. There's going to be eventually death panels to where there will be people sitting in a room that are bureaucrats. Think of somebody like your librarian at your public high school. There'll be 10 of them in a little room deciding whether your granny gets to live or die.
Yeah.
And I remember then the left liberals were going on, and, oh, my God, are you insane? You're such a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, right. They would have liked you thrown in jail for that, or in Obama's first term, probably for saying Obama has plans to take away guns. They probably would have thought that was untrue.
Uh-huh. Right,
you know, that
right.
thing about death panels.
And, until he did.
That
know?
Thing about death panels, everyone thinks Sarah Palin came up with it, but it's not that new of a thought. And here's a spoiler alert, but in the BBC House of Cards, near the end of it, the main character, F.U., shoots his dog. He has an old dog, and he takes it out in his big backyard of his mansion out in the country, and he shoots it with a double-barreled shotgun, break-action shotgun. Mm. And then he turns to the camera and says, "He was a good old dog, served me well. I'm sad to see him go. But I kind of wish that the National Health could do this with people."
Yeah.
Well, that's 1990.
See, and that's the thing, is people who are like, no, that would never happen, they don't understand the basic economics, economics is kind of a buzzword, the basic incentive structure of the way socialized anything works. And that's the way it works if it's healthcare or if it's roads or if it's the post office. If there's a limited amount of resources and those resources don't get bought up by the price system, by people deciding, oh, I want to spend this much money on this, then there's going to have to be a form of rationing. You can either let prices ration things or you can let bureaucrats ration things. Those are the only two ways.
I want to interject about the Obama giving our Bitcoin password back thing.
He actually didn't, unfortunately.
He didn't. I love the picture, Rich, and I'm glad we make you feel warm and creamy when we say that we love it.
I do wish life would imitate art in that case.
Yeah, but I deleted my Bitcoin account and all the data last night, and I talked to Nima before I did it. The reason I did it is it was driving me bonkers. And it's kind of a Zen thing of like, I have to get this desire out of my life. Like, as I watch Bitcoin go up to $45 each, and I'm like, there's $160 in here and I can't get it. And I wrote down every possible password that I would have used that I could have remembered, and then every like adding numbers to it and letters and moving stuff around. And I have probably spent 30 hours over the past 10 days typing stuff in anger. And I was going to keep doing that forever, and I never would have gotten it. And even if I did, I've already spent, if you paid me minimum wage, I've already spent more than $160 worth of time and rage trying to get it back. So I just deleted it. And the fiends are probably not going to take Bitcoin again. Unless someone says, hey, I want to send you 1,000 Bitcoin, I will immediately set up an address. But, you know, I mean, we got, and I'm not complaining about Bitcoin donations. It was really nice of people. We got three of them over 2 years' time or something, and or a year's time. But they're not that useful to me. Cash is useful because I can spend it on gear. We just buy gear, man. We're not saving for a rainy day with Bitcoin or cash.
Right, right. And yeah, you were... I mean, I'd rather agree with that decision because you were like the grave digging psycho guy in Red Dead Redemption who was looking for the other piece of his, you know, treasure map. And you were right. You said you had to just burn the treasure map and stop looking for it.
I burned the map of the part of the ocean we dropped our gold in.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I'd rather... I mean, we don't spend donations. We don't stockpile donations. We spend them, and it's better to spend them on fiends gear now than save them for a year to where it's devalued by 10% and spend them then. You know,
right, right.
I mean, we that one episode where I was freaking out and saying we need money for gear, and I lost the Bitcoin, and we got like $300 during the episode. We spent that night on fiends gear that we need.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, if people are kind of like, you have all this gear, but you don't sound any better today, and those of us with good hearing can tell that there's a little bit of hum in the background, you got to realize after tomorrow, everything's going to be different. We're only one day away from perfection. When we get that sound card and those balanced cables, and we set it up, and we test it, and we put Audio Cactus on the good computer, I mean, we still sound better than everyone out there today, but to me, it's like, this isn't as good as it could be. It's horrible. I'm a drug addict with friggin' audio, man.
Yeah.
Audio.
We complicated everything. We didn't keep it simpler. We had to because of radio, so now we've got a lot more gear, and so it's going to take a little bit of time and work to get the gear calibrated and sounding exactly like we want it to sound. But in the end, I think the price will be worth it.
And then we're going to get rid of it all and start recording on water like Death Clock.
Yeah, I listened to Go Into the Water again the other day.
Oh, man.
Such an awesome song.
It is. Yeah. I wish we could go into the water and avoid things like the FCC, but do you want to read more or is it time to play a song?
Why don't you read a little bit more? I've got a song I've just found, and I have to click on
it. Okay, where were you on there? What end of first paragraph?
The beginning of the second paragraph, which is the same thing as you just said. Sorry.
The FCC vigorously enforces this law where we find violations. And the thing about finding violations is they do not actively monitor all the radio. Although now
it's tattletales.
The DHS monitors it all now, but they're not looking for cussing.
Right, right.
Although if they found some, they'd probably report it to the FCC. But the
DHS—they're looking for people who say worms.
They're looking for people who say, "I don't like this government. I'm stroking my rifle," which we don't say, but except when we're quoting. Yeah. So, and they're also looking for people like us who say the government is immoral and the state is just the collective hallucination that enforces the government, and without it, if people just stop believing in it, it won't be there, which sounds like hippy-dippy talk, but Ben came up with it, and Ben is brilliant, and he's right.
It's true.
He's the first person to come up with that. And here, I want to read this. I want to read the 60-second radio ad I wrote for Ben Quaker today. It's going to be in his voice, but we worked hard on this, so I'm going to read it.
Okay.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. The market in free liberty media is overwhelming these days. With such a selection, what would entice a freedom seeker to spend precious time listening to an old bullet-scarred liberty warrior from an age gone by? Would homespun logic and down-to-earth explanations of economics tickle your attention? How about a truly original view of that ugly old dragon, the state? I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. And we have a forum, and it's got gardening tips. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker podcast at badquaker.com. That's BADQUAKER.com.
Nice. Excellent. Although I think it should be also we have a forum.
Also.
Not grammatically, just because it's funny.
And we have also. I like Anime Before Him because it's really a different tone than the previous stuff. And that's how true. I hope he reads it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So you got a song?
Well written and funny. And I love Bullet Scarred Liberty Warrior from an Age Gone By.
Yep. That was his line, actually.
He's the Gandalf of libertarianism.
I love that. He wrote that. I wrote the... he's not real comfortable about tooting his own horn. And I wrote all the stuff about, I invented the new view of the state. I was into this before it was cool. Which he's kind of like, okay, I guess I can read that. And I'm like, no, read it. I mean, we were originally going to have DJ do an ad. And I'm like, you know, and have music. And I'm like, every ad we have that we're going to have on radio is DJ talking and music. And Ben Quake, one of the great things about his show is his voice. So I thought it should be in his voice. And I thought it should not have obtrusive hip-hop punk rock under it.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because he's genuine. And that's how his own ads are on his show.
Not that we're not, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So here's what I was thinking about playing. It's called Spody Odie Dopalicious. It's by Outkast, and it's actually where a couple episodes ago I kept saying the word marinate to me.
Used marinate this in is the where show I got it from. I used it in the show notes yesterday.
Oh, did you? Yep. Nice, nice. Yeah, there's a genius line. It's not really, maybe I've said this on the cast before, maybe I've got Newsheimer's, but it's kind of not really rapping. It's kind of like spoken word to this awesome funk track. And Big Boy says, you know, can't always feed the baby on the dope money, but United Parcel Service and the post office won't call you back because you got dirty piss. Now you're back in the trap. Just that, trap. Now go and marinate on that.
How
now,
long
trap,
is it?
For those who don't know, trap is, I mean, selling, you know, in the hood, slanging dope. It's 7 minutes, so we got a long break. I can cut it off, though.
That's okay. If I come back and start saying, turn it off, you can, but.
All right. Yep. Here it is. Outkast, Spody Odie Dopalicious.
Cool.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9%. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a torrent club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. And you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. Ola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Ola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
Guns and Weed, the road to freedom. a film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati.
Available on Amazon or at gunsandweed.com.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
A lot of times the last song on an album will be kind of trippy and psychedelic and not your traditional rap song. Another good one, if you like that Outkast song, check out a song called Bad Note. It's at the end of one of their albums. I can't remember which one. Maybe it's Stankonia. No, Stankonia has another really good Outkast song that's kind of trippy called Stank Love. But those are probably my three favorite non-traditional hip-hop songs that Outkast does. Stank Love, Bad Note, and Spodi Odi Dopalicious.
I like the name Spodi Odi Dopalicious.
Yeah, yeah. They went through a phase where they like to name things like that, like multiple words, some of them gibberish words, all smushed together as one word. Like they had an album, or maybe it was a song called Southern Playlist at Cadillac Music, but there's no spaces, it's all just squished together.
Well, you know where they got that.
Where?
Well, the Chili Peppers did it, but they probably both, the Chili Peppers and Outkast probably both got it from Parliament Funkadelic.
Ah, that would make sense. What did they do like that?
They had a song that was all one word. It was Sir Funk, Sir Noise Devoid of Funk was the name of the song.
Ah, okay.
And, let's see. Who else did that, too? There's another funk band from the 70s that did that. Sly and Family Stone. That song, Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself. Do you know that song?
Mm-mm, no.
Thank you for letting me be myself again. Mm-mm. Oh man, you should check out some 70s funk. But
I mean,
that was a huge hit. It was like probably top 10, if not number one, and it's a great song. But
yeah,
and they're a huge influence on the Chili Peppers. But that song was spelled all as one word, and it was Thang, Thangyou, Fur, Fur, Letin be Mice, MiceElf.
Ah, okay. So there's a long tradition of that. Mm-hmm. All right, that's good.
Yeah.
I was searching through some old funk songs and old soul songs to sample. I was crate digging, but nowadays you can crate dig on YouTube. You don't actually have to dig through physical crates anymore. And came across Bootsy Collins, and it was a live performance. And he's got like a whole thing about the mothership. And do you believe in the mothership? And the mothership is coming for us. And I wondered about that, and I was going to I saved it onto the MPC, and I was going to chop it up as a sample. I wonder about that, though. Do you remember when people talked about the mothership? Where does that come
Absolutely.
From?
Absolutely. That comes... Well, it's a term from shipping. I mean, the mothership is the large ship that comes in, and the smaller ships come out and bring things to it. It goes back to, like, the whaling days. Or take things from it because they couldn't bring the big ship all the way into the harbor.
I thought it was like a sci-fi thing, like we're all aliens here and the mothership's going to come and pick us up and take us back to our
later
planet.
That's the later use of it, but it goes back to like, you know, probably 1600 or something. But in popular culture, in music, and they may have gotten it from sci-fi, but not Sly and Family Stone, Parliament Funkadelic. They had a record called Mothership Connection, and the picture of it was a giant spaceship, and they had a thing on stage that was a big spaceship, and that's actually parodied in that Red Hot Chili Peppers video that I think I sent you where they do, It's like the band dressed in all the phases of rock and roll from like the 70s to now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. One of them is them being Parliament Funkadelic with the spaceship on stage. And
Flea, and I think that was the song. It's like the Mothership Connection.
Yeah, and Flea wearing the big Bootsy Collins boots and star-shaped mirrored sunglasses.
Mm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, I just sent you a link. Why don't we play Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself again?
Okay.
It's a really good song. I'll play a little bit of it just to get
it. Did you pigeon it to me?
No, but I will. It's a good pigeon. I meant to. But I meant to. There's probably ads on it. It's really popular.
You didn't press enter. Okay.
It's hella funky.
This is Sly and the Family Stone. Thank you for letting me be mice elf again. That's genius. Yeah. Mice elf. Okay.
Before you play it, I just thought of something else about cussing, and I'm done with the FCC rant today. I think we can go on to more fun things.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I mean, the song you played, I didn't really dig it, but it was good time music, and it put me in a good mood, even that we're playing it, and that got me out of the mood to talk about government. So, but something, one little note about government and cussing, you're going to have to make sure none of the clips you play have cussing, or the songs. Yeah. And,
good point.
And
good
I'm saying that right now, you've been warned.
Well, we're not going to play songs on radio because we're not going to have time to. It's going to be small chunks of us talking.
And that gets into FCC. That gets into another gang, ASCAP and BMI.
Yeah, exactly. ASCAP.
ASCAP. ASCAP.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. I just
they'll cap you in the ass with government guns if you play a song and don't pay for it.
Right, exactly. All right, but yeah, we're not going to play songs, and as far as clips go, yeah, I guess we'll just have to monitor them. But we'll also have a kill button, you know.
But I would like a two-pronged approach of
definitely
not having cussing, and then you know, because the kill button is going to be a last resort, and it's going to be a tab that's open on one of our computers, and you know,
well, it's like self-defense, right? I mean, people say when you're at home defense is about having perimeter layers of safety.
Yeah.
You know, fences, dogs, locked doors.
Yeah, the fences and the dog and the locked doors are going to be us not cussing,
right,
and making sure no clips have cussing.
The kill switch will be the Mossberg 500 in case something gets passed.
But it might be hard to get to. Like, the Mossberg might be sometimes in your house if you have a big house. Because, you know, I mean, I have like 20 windows open right now to do this show right now, and we will have those open. I'll have to go and find it within 6 seconds and hit it.
Okay.
Or what if one of us walks away to pet a cat or something because it's snoring too loud and it's picking up on the microphone. So, yeah, well, this has got to be a last defense, man.
Yeah, yeah. And we won't step – I guess what I'm saying is I won't step away from the clips that I'm playing on the radio show because there'll be clips that we play – to talk about them, not music we play to go pee-pee kitty.
So you will have listened to them. You'll have listened to them through before the show.
Right.
Right. So yeah, play some good time funk from the 70s.
Sly and the Family Stone.
And by the way, this band had a reputation as being beyond the most drugged out band in the world. They were constantly on mountains of cocaine, heroin, pot, and wine. Good time. Good time.
Fortified wine.
Good, yeah.
Boone's Farm.
They're from Oakland, man.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Here we go.
Yeah.
All right. Bringing it all the way back to 1971. Was it?
Yeah. I think we should play Parliament Funkadelic now.
Are we a music show now?
I think we are.
Right.
We are.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, we have good taste, so.
And we taste good.
I think we can do that.
All right. The last link I just sent you. Parliament Funkadelic. We want the funk.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely know this song. But it's a good song. All right. Here we go.
Yeah. 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 Worms. I just want to listen to 70s
funk all day, man.
Screw the government.
Screw the state.
Yo.
All right.
Yeah. In the movie CB4, they have this, Chris Rock's character has this fantasy of being old and washed up. He's having a dream, and he's like in the old rapper's home. Do you remember that scene?
Mm,
and there's like two like 80-year-old black men sitting in an upright acoustic piano playing like a ragtime version of that song Flashlight.
It's a great song. An oldie but a goodie, man. It still sounds fresh.
Yeah.
Actually, in a wedding I'm doing on Saturday, that's the song that the bridal people are coming out to.
Ah.
Not during the ceremony, but during the you know, when you introduce the bridal party to the rest of the just mundanes, they're going to be coming out dancing to that. So
I think we need to find some cool in the gang now.
You're just on a funk kick, man.
It gets me out of the idea of the government, man. I think we should listen to Celebration by Cool and the Gang.
No. That's a little
That's
too,
everyone does that. Like, Al Gore used that in one of his, yeah.
Well, did he use it? I thought that was just in the Simpsons episode.
Oh, it is. It is. I sold a copy of my book. This is time for a celebration.
Yeah, and then he goes and like has a phonograph or something. Yeah. He goes and puts the needle on the record and it's coming out of one of those big metal horns.
Horns.
Or something.
Yeah, after like all this this computer infrastructure tells him he sold a book.
Right.
Okay, that's probably enough to use 70s funk for now, unless I think of something else. Okay. But yeah, music, man.
Yeah.
Music's good for the soul. We haven't touched our notes. It's a good thing.
Should we? I can't touch them. They're on my computer screen.
Did we discuss
open up the computer?
Did we discuss daylight savings time in LibPair?
A little bit, but because we talked about the weekend, I think more than that. You know, would weekends exist in LibPair? But daylight savings time is kind of the same concept. You know, I was listening to Scott Horton the other day, and something was wrong with the Adam Curry archive. Like, it didn't
As
record
usual.
All of him, and instead,
that's why
in the
we left, man. Their tech. Right. Adam Curry's great, but whoever's running that place for free, he should, I don't know. They do what they can, but I don't know, man. After dealing with Ian Freeman on Free Talk Live, or on LRN, who does just an amazingly tight ship that's actually tighter than the 50,000-watt AM commercial station my town. There is, generally, each day, there are a couple segments where there is like 1 or 2 minutes of dead air on K2 Radio in Casper, but there's never any on Ian's. And if there is, like, I'm listening at 4 a.m. and I call him up and wake him up, and he fixes it from his iPhone from home. Well, he lives in his studio, but
But yeah, Scott Horton's show just like stopped, you know, and had that annoying thing whenever your show stops abruptly, that phone tone, and then the guy says, "Support the stream, Crow UK Unlimited." That used to torment us day in and day out, and week in and week out.
He did like 6 weeks on there.
And then some guy gets on, and it's his show or whatever, and I'm like, I wasn't trying to listen to you, I was trying to listen to Scott Horton. And the guy just goes on and on for like the first 20 minutes about how he hates daylight saving time. He didn't call it daylight savings, and he did address it. He said, it's correct call it daylight saving time. I don't know if that's true or not, but
it is.
Oh, it is. Okay. I still call it daylight savings because that's what I grew up calling it, and it sounds better to me because there's multiple savings from it. Yay. But you know, I guess I really don't get the anger at it. I get the anger at the state dictating what time you use, but I kind of feel like even without the state, people would have to have some type of standard of what time was when, right?
I think if LibPair happened tomorrow, I think people would still use the 12 and 24 hour clocks we have now.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, because they work, and they're actually far less arbitrary than feet and yards and inches, which are based on the king's foot and penis and thumb, I believe.
It's kind of, to me, it's the other side of the coin, how people are like always saying, well, you know, Bastiat said just because we don't want public schools doesn't mean we're anti-education.
Yeah, it's kind of like not anti-time.
Just because
we're anti-measuring of time. And since everything's already set up to do it, I think that in LibPair, a lot of people would probably go to the metric system for measurement because it makes more sense. And literally the whole world has, except America and Britain. But I think that we would stay on a 24-hour clock. At least days and years are based – they're not arbitrary. They're based on the rotation of the sun and of the earth around the sun and the rotation of the earth. But, you know, 24 hours in a day, that's kind of arbitrary. But it works.
Well, don't you think the state is one of the things that prevents the average American from being fluent in the metric system? I mean, I grew up in school only learning.
They've actually tried to pass laws, and I think they passed a law to try to make the metric system be taught in schools, and it just didn't work, and no one wanted it. It's kind of like the cow's out of the barn with that, you know. It's like trying to take all the guns away. Maybe they could have done it 150 years ago, but they can't do it now. There's too many of them, and there's people are too entrenched in time. And I don't want to have to buy a new atomic clock. I like the 24-hour system.
Well, you can also, on our atomic clocks, turn off the daylight savings.
Oh, you can.
And a lot of things have
well,
that, too.
It's because if you live in Arizona, because they don't celebrate it. Easy. They also don't celebrate Martin Luther King Day. And, you know, Wyoming celebrates that day, but they call it Equality Day.
Well, they are the equality state.
Yep. Yep. Daylight savings time is like tax withholding. The government steals an hour from you and gives it back without interest
without
6 months
interest.
Later.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, we got our tax return. It's $15.
Oh, well, at least you didn't know. At least you didn't know. I barely broke even, too. It's a three-digit, but very small three-digit that we're going to get back.
I want to pat myself on the back a little bit for guiding you, Nima Vedati, kicking and screaming to do my bidding.
Which bidding?
Well, you didn't really kick and scream on this, but I wanted to leave the Adam Curry show before we did. We did 6 weeks of it, and I wanted to leave it like 4 weeks, and you were like, oh, it might get better. And I'm like, no, I'm gnashing my teeth over this. And it did not get better, and I wrote a draft of a letter, a Dear John letter to send him, and ran it by you, and you approved it, but you kind of had reservations. You're kind of like, well, if you really think we should do this, Michael, I suppose. Now, you know what? If we hadn't done that, I don't think we'd be getting on radio. I really don't. Because I think we'd still be struggling with that. And we'd be like, well, radio, you know, basically what happened was we were on that. I thought it was going to vastly improve our audience. It kind of did for a minute, but it was such a hassle. And it didn't vastly improve it. He has like 700 listeners or something. Which is, you know, less than you have on one radio station in town when you're syndicated.
Well, and, you know, doing our own Fiend stream and having our own Fiend chat, it helps us so much more. I really liked the chat room on the Adam Curry.
That's where
network.
We got the idea.
Where we got the idea, but it's so much better having Fiends on it. I mean,
wait till we get on radio. We'll have non-Fiends on it.
But we had too many trolls in the Adam Curry chat room. We had people that would sit there and defend socialism.
And we couldn't block it. I mean, we weren't admins on it. We can block on this. Yeah. I don't know how, but I have it written down somewhere. I could do it.
If someone someone
got particularly snitty, I'd do it, or one of the other admins would do it. So sometimes you gotta give up something that looks good to get to even have room in your life to find something better. I guess that's the takeaway. And I think that a lot of people live kind of, I wouldn't say small lives. I don't want to say I'm great and you're stupid, but like a lot of people never reach their potential because they're afraid to give up and step away from something that is sort of working, but not well. And the government's like that too. I mean, that's why there's still a state. I mean, there's a great meme going around of,
that's why they still post office
of some, there's a great meme going around of some Aztecs throwing a virgin into a volcano. And in the crowd, one of the Aztecs is saying to the other, like, well, it's a flawed system, but it's the best one that it could possibly be.
Yeah, that's such a defeatist attitude, and it really doesn't allow for progress. And, you know, who was that I interviewed during one of the first Fiends interviews? Maybe it was Robin Kerner, even though he's not an anarchist. No, it was James Davis. He was saying that, you know, there's something about human beings, it may be evolutionary, that the youth are the ones that want to change the system because that's just how we evolved as a species. Because old people are always say things like that. Well, it's the best system we got. What are we going to do? But young people don't ever take that as a, well, not all of them at least, are much less inclined to take that as an answer and say, okay, yeah, you're right. I mean, because you can see the ridiculousness of it, and you want to run away from the volcano.
If you really want to understand why old people get in the way, and I'm not saying the national health should shoot them like a dog or there should be death panels, but you know, why allowing them to have control over what's coming and being conservative, which means clinging to things whether they work or not. Read the newspaper, the free newspaper, the like small town weekly paper in any town of about 50,000 people. Here in Casper, there's two papers. There's the what I call the Casper Terrifier or the Commie Star Tribune or the Prairie Pravda, which is the Tribune. Which is, it has its issues and it's dumb and it's all, every headline on both papers is always on the front page, something about the schools and the children. Mm-hmm. F the schools and the children. No, we care about the schools and the children. We just don't like to be jacked constantly to do things that don't help them. But if that paper is kind of young and feisty attitude, like not young, like 50-year-old feisty. But if you read the, and that's daily, but if you read the weekly paper that's Republican-leaning, that's called, what is it called, Nimi? Do you remember?
Casper Journal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I used to get the Tribune 3 days a week, whether I wanted it to or not. And I, and then on one day a week, I get both papers bundled together, whether I want them or not. And I called the Tribune, I called both papers and said, stop sending me this. The Tribune doesn't come anymore 3 days a week, but the bundled two papers comes every Wednesday. And they throw it in my yard, and I go out and pick it up and throw it in the trash. Sometimes I look through the opaque, the clear, the translucent plastic and read and say, ugh, schools, and throw it away. Mm-hmm. But, and literally, like, they're littering. They are littering in my yard. I've told them I don't want it, and I still get it. Now, if I went out every Wednesday and picked it up and threw it out in the street, eventually I'd probably get a ticket for littering. They can litter in my yard, but I can't litter it out of my yard. So I have to actually come in and throw it in my trash. Right. But that paper is for old people. I mean, I think the readership is like 70 to 80. It's the one that has all the obituaries in it. The other one doesn't have a lot of obituaries. And it's all old, old, old people talking about old, old, old things. And it's so square. And it's so support the troops and America mm-hmm. and the flag and apple pie and taxes aren't good, but we pay them because we should, and well, that makes us good citizens. And, you know, an article called, like, things we said in 1955, or letter to a heartfelt dying Marine, or, you know, warning, you might die if, like, every headline is like a dad spam headline.
Right.
And it's,
and
it's,
I
like,
guess I don't want to be ageist, because I don't think all people are like that.
Mama Liberty's kind of older, and she's really hip.
Yeah. She's hipper than anybody. I think you have to be old and conservative, even if you're a liberal or a progressive, if you're old and you're a statist, you know, I still think there's some conservatism in there, because you want things to be, you know, you still idealize the rose-colored glasses of the past. You know, you look back on things and you're like, well, back in my day, young people were responsible and they accepted authority.
No, they weren't, man. When I, in back in my day, in the 70s, young people were like Beavis and Butthead, just like they are now. They just had different haircuts and different slang.
Right.
Where I came from, in Westfield, New York. Yeah, oh, which totally has a newspaper that's kind of the ultimate of that kind of old people newspaper. And the name of the newspaper is the Westfield Republican.
Mm. Of course, they mean like little R Republican, right?
I don't think so. I think it's because Abe Lincoln. And the Republican Party started near near there.
Okay.
And Grace Bedell, who told Abe Lincoln to grow a beard, was from Westfield. There's actually a statue of her downtown.
You know, I like that, though. I like people being honest about their biases. And
I thought you were going to say, I like statues dedicated to beards.
No.
To beards.
To beards. Yeah, well, I like that, too. But yeah, man, you know, I kind of like, people don't like how there's Fox News now and MSNBC and one's far left and far right and et cetera. But I like that a lot better than people pretending like they're in the middle of the road or they're moderates, because then they're just a little bit bad on everything, or a lot bad on everything. Like you said before, moderates are just bad on everything, right?
No, I said moderates are people who want everything to be a little bit illegal.
Ah, well, yeah, that's bad. I don't want anything to be illegal. That's my definition of bad. Yeah, it's they want the state involved a little bit in everything, you know?
Yeah. F the state.
Yeah. F the state. Man, I really wish it'd be like, you did a blog post recently. I think you were quoting Lou, or you had talked to Lou, where he says, you know, I dream of a day when the state is just something we talk about in history class.
Yeah.
Not something we talk about on our show or with each other.
Well, not something, he said, I look forward to a day when government is only taught in history class. Like now it's basically taught in every class, like how to be a good citizen. Okay. He's saying like in schools that it would be something that's only taught. I think he was specifying that, but I think in LibPair we'd still talk about the state on here because we are history class.
Yeah, yeah, I guess we are. Yeah, that's true.
So I want to talk a little bit about, in the last 15 minutes here, about Sony's big failure on copy protection. Sony, and And it's in, we'll read this, and then I want everyone to note that, like, people passed laws to deal with this. And this is something that technology could so easily deal with. You so don't need laws for so much stuff. And the government just mandated that Google tell people how to secure their wireless routers.
Wait, in other words, mandated? So they're going to force Google to? Why just Google?
Because Google is big and everybody reads it. So it's like the daily paper. You know, I mean, the government in a small town can say, well, you have to publish this notice because everyone needs to know about this.
The government is Veruca Salt from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's like, do what I want.
Except their head doesn't get huge and turn purple and explode yet.
Unfortunately.
So read a little bit of this Sony BMG CD copy prevention scandal. It's disgusting.
Okay, let's see. I'm on the wiki page for Sony. Is there a specific heading?
I just sent you a link in the... Oh, it didn't do the whole link.
The pigeon chola.
That's weird.
All right, I'm going to
search. It broke the link somehow and didn't. Search Sony BMG copy protection scandal.
Maybe they copy protected the
the article. Yeah, that's funny.
All right, let's see here. Give me a second. I'll search the exact. Was that an original link you sent me?
Actually, you could copy the whole link because it just broke and didn't link the last part of it.
That's what I'll do. Ah, here we go. Okay. The Sony BMG CD copy protection rootkit scandal. It concerns the copy protection measures included by Sony BMG on compact discs in 2005. Sony BMG included the extended copy protection and MediaMax CD3 software on music CDs. XCP was put on 52 titles, and MediaMax was put on 50 titles. The software was automatically installed on Windows desktop computers when customers tried to play the CDs. Oh, really? Like without the customer knowing? The software interferes with the normal way in which Microsoft Windows operating system plays CDs by installing a rootkit, which unintentionally created vulnerabilities for other malware to exploit. So it was Sony giving you a virus, just about. This was discovered and publicly revealed by Mark Rusinovich on SysInternals blog. Other operating systems were not affected. Only Windows there. Huh. So what was the intention of this? Is you put it in your CD and then from now on you like can't do certain things with those files
basically,
on your computer?
Basically it was did you read the part about where they said they'll go to any lengths possible?
I didn't get to read any of Sony's justifications.
In August 2000, statements by Sony Pictures Entertainment's US senior VP Steve Heckler foreshadowed the events of 2005. Heckler, great name for a guy that does bad things.
Yeah.
Heckler told attendees at the Americas Conference on Information Systems, quote, "The industry will take whatever steps it needs to protect itself and its revenue streams. It will not lose that revenue, no matter what. Wow. Sony is going to take aggressive steps to stop this. We will develop technology that transcends the individual user. We will firewall Napster at the source. We will block it at your cable company. We will block it at your phone company. We will block it at your ISP. We will firewall it at your PC. These strategies are being aggressively pursued because there is simply too much at stake.
Those your fat G5 private jet?
Yeah.
Is that?
I don't want to have a G4. We're going to ruin your computer, so I don't have to get a G4.
Right.
And that one, for people who don't know, Napster was a file sharing system. It was kind of the first one.
I loved it when I was a kid, man.
For basically, bootlegging MP3s and later, not really movies. There wasn't the bandwidth to do movies then.
Yeah, but you could also get like stuff that you couldn't get anywhere else, like
software.
Well, music too. Me and my friend,
like live stuff.
We loved Nirvana, and we were like hardcore Nirvana heads. And he would like take trips and end up in places that had like bootleg copies of Nirvana Live 1993 or like unreleased stuff.
And you
type stuff in, and you get stuff you'd never heard before.
I remember when you had to go somewhere to find music.
Yeah, and you used to. And Napster was like the first time that
it would go there for you.
Yeah, exactly. And then you'd have it, and it'd be like, and And this is so long ago. I guess I was a freshman in high school that you actually had to like wait for your songs to download. Like nowadays, it like happens almost instantaneously. Yeah. But back then, you'd sit there and like stare at the progress bar and be like, "Oh, when can I listen?" And one would finish completing, and then you'd listen to it while you wait for and stare at the other one slowly moving across.
And sometimes you got bunk stuff because sometimes labels would upload bunk stuff, but.
And just be like a hiss or
That's not a problem. Oh, the really bad one was like they would put like 10 seconds of the quiet opening of some rock song and then it would be like digital distortion you know, right. And you'd turn your speakers up because the beginning is really quiet and then it would hurt your ears and possibly blow your speakers. But that's not a problem on Pirate Bay because they have a rating system where like
exactly
the people get the little skulls next to their name who do the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so Sony's response to this was to put out CDs that if played in a computer, installed software on the computer that effed everything up to the way they wanted it to be. Basically, think about how evil that is. Like other products, if using them once, you know, like if your grandma gave you some brownies and you tasted one of them and then all of a sudden, like you had a tapeworm or something. That's kind of what this was like.
Or, like, it ruins your taste buds to where all other brownies taste like poo-poo.
Yeah. And then they...
It damaged your property. That's what the beginning of it was. It put a rootkit on your software, on your personal computer, and its unintended consequences were bad, too, because it created vulnerabilities for other malware to exploit. So,
which they did.
It damaged your property.
Yeah, and it... and think about, like, remember that Utah guy, Orrin Hatch, who said that he wanted to pass a law that would make it legal for record companies to... destroy your computer if you violated their copyright. Thing is,
screw that guy.
This takes it one step further. It damaged your property even if you're using the product as sold. You know, if you play the CD. And it slowed down your computer. It made you open to other malware. It phoned home and told them what you were looking at or what you were listening to. It was a virus basically. And they got a lot of flack for it. And they eventually recalled the CDs, and they were only really cheesy. They only did it with a couple things, like Michael Jackson and Natalie Imbruglia's record, and NSYNC. Like, they basically put it on crappy CDs that a lot of people bought.
Yeah.
And then they were pressured so much, they recalled those CDs, and they issued what they said was a removal tool on their website, but the removal tool did nothing and said it removed the thing. And then some politician got involved. There was some state that had an anti Texas had an anti malware or, you know, virus. They had some law about spyware, and this was the first case they prosecuted with it. And I just think about laws about spyware. I'm sure it's like some grandpa senator who doesn't know how to use stuff gets a virus on his computer and is like, "Well, I work in Congress. I can stop this."
Yeah.
And passes
a
law.
He wants his tube sanitized.
Yeah. And that doesn't do it. I mean, really, it's like, I don't get viruses, man. But yeah. Okay. That I know of.
You're not trying to play the free version of Angry Birds every day.
Yeah. I would never would. So Sony blows, man.
They make good gear, but I guess it's their content wing that did all this sort of heinous stuff.
Are we done with that subject or we got more?
I have nothing else to say about Sony except that, man, screw you for doing this, Sony. Make other cool stuff. Stick to what you're good at, you know?
Yeah, make cool stuff.
Make high-quality gear and sell me my gear and don't put anything in it that will ruin other parts of my gear, man.
Yep. So I just sent you a link. I thought this was real when I saw it, but it's the Daily Current, and it's almost better than The Onion. And they had an article called Facebook Begins Charging to Delete Photos, which I believe because the day before, one of the Fiends admins had tried to send someone a message to tell them that I said, please quit posting stuff that's going to get us droned. And Facebook tried to charge them $1 to send him a message on Facebook. So read this a little bit. It's funny.
Yeah. Faced with continued investor skepticism over its long-term business model, Facebook has quietly started testing a new way of generating additional revenue, charging money to delete old photos. The new settings, which are currently in beta, ask users to pay $5 to delete any photo more than 1 year old from their own Facebook profiles, and up to $20 to delete photos of themselves on other people's profiles. Now pause. You know, I would actually think that that would be a good thing, that $20 to delete photos of themselves on other people's profiles, I would pay for that.
I don't think so. I don't think it's a good thing because... Because
those are other people's pics?
A bunch of reasons. One is the unintended consequence would be there'd be people who made a living just posting photos of other people that are embarrassing 24/7 and then charging them. So it would increase that happening, not decrease it, as all laws do with things like that. And
right, instead of having Google vans just doing the Google Earth images, they'd have Facebook vans driving around town taking pictures of people doing embarrassing things.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay.
What else? Why else don't I like that? I don't know. It gets into property right issues. I kind of think, and here I'm going to sound like a minarchist again, but I kind of think that... I guess
my thing, though, is you don't have a positive right to not be embarrassed on Facebook.
Yeah,
you don't have a right to not be embarrassed.
And I would say that if you're going to believe that you don't have a right to control your image, you know, like Ben Quaker believes about Ron Paul, if you extend that to Facebook, would you
have a right to control how you portray yourself? Because you have ultimate control over
yourself,
but if
you've taken a goofy picture of yourself and posted it somewhere on the public internet and somebody else picked it up and put it on their Facebook and then you decided that's embarrassing, I want it down. I don't like the idea that anybody could charge to take it off someone else's Facebook page because that's their property.
Right. They've homesteaded it at that point.
Yeah.
They've made it theirs. They've mixed it and Creative Commons'd it, you know.
Yeah, they've grown some weed on the ship's deck that they're taking a trip on.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good point. I guess all I was getting at is, some people think that Facebook is like a right for them and Facebook should do what they want. But Facebook is it's just Walmart, man. It's a private thing and you go on there and you're responsible for your actions in it and they're responsible for, you know, how they run their site. And if you don't like it, you can get out.
And you did. Yeah.
And
I feel
good about it. That's not like saying you don't like America, then get out, because, you know,
there's other things like Facebook.
I didn't sign up to join a state called America. I was born here and I want to still live in the prettiness that is the Texas Hill Country. And I don't think that means I should be subjected to the state.
Yeah, I feel really good about leaving Facebook overall. Partially for a lot of reasons. One, it was taking up a lot of time, and kind of like the same reason I deleted the Bitcoin password finally. Like, it was frustrating me on a daily basis and making me less productive as a fiend, but I kept doing it. It was kind of like banging my head against the wall, doing the same things over and over and expecting different results. And as a recovering addict, I know that you have to stop things cold turkey sometimes or just get out of them. I guess I'm not cold turkey off Facebook because I go on there once a day for about 2 minutes and read the Fiends and Guns and Weed pages, see what's been added. But that's, I'm not participating in Facebook.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I'm not. I had somebody on Facebook the other day, Facebook messaged me and they asked me if I had a Facebook page.
Wow.
With the Facebook message.
That's meta, man. Meta.
I didn't even respond. I was like,
you know what,
you just messaged me.
Well, did they have a link or anything?
No, it was somebody I know.
Oh.
I don't know why they did that.
You know stupid people, apparently.
Apparently. All right. So,
or smart people who are funny. Was it Mahoney?
No. Yeah, maybe it was a joke, and maybe it was they were asking if I had administration of other pages that weren't my own, like a Nima Vedati artist page, or the Guns and Weed page, or the Freedom Fiends page, which I do admin. Maybe that's what they meant.
But you
it was
admin,
just an awkward
you,
question. To,
you can admin, but you don't.
I can admin, but yes.
You're too busy booking cruises and buying scooters.
Right. That's my new thing instead of shooting crocodile and tranny hookers.
Yeah. I'm just teasing you about that because I know that this cruise is the first in the Vedati, the Romanowski, is it Romanowski? I want to say the last name. Right.
Yeah,
the Romanowski Vedati vacation season, which cuts into Fiends time and starts March 1st and ends December 31st for the year.
Well, hopefully not. Hopefully this will be... one big thing to blow our load. We both know we've got a lot of work to do and need to put our noses to the grindstone. So that's going to be our goal. But, you know, her thing is we got to do this for the family. Her dad really needs us right now. So some things you got to do. You got to do.
Sounds like a great vacation. We got to do this vacation.
Hey, well, it's going to be. Yeah, that's why I didn't want to really talk about that.
I'm not dissing you about it. I'm just. Yeah,
I'm sure it's going to be a blast. I'm amplifying my Cuban cigar with my feet up, eating sushi. So
and not using the internet because it's $90 a second.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. Seriously.
And phone and the phone will be international calling. So.
Right. Well, yep. I've got a quick kicker. We are at the end of our time here. And sometimes we like to end with a kicker. That's TV news speak for when you play. It's the squirrel on the water skis. You know, it's the thing at the end that's kind of goofy, but leaves a sweet aftertaste in your mouth instead of the dingy dookie of tyranny. And my kicker today is a headline from the Daily Caller. Iranian media publishes conspiracy theory claiming Ben Affleck is covert agent.
Why? Because he made that movie?
Yeah, because of Argo. And I just thought, this is so the plot of a South Park episode.
Yeah.
Like, this is totally life imitating art. And because they'd love to rip on Ben Affleck. And and they think he's a covert agent for his acting. So it totally reminds me of Team America World Police, because that was the plot of that, is this guy's so good at acting, he becomes one of the covert agents in the secret, you know, intelligence thing. So, yeah, I just thought that was a hilarious Iranian state-run media outlet, Press TV, running a story claiming that the anti-Iran propaganda, including 2012's Argo, and blaming Ben Affleck for it. So you suck Ben Affleck, and that's funny.
I don't suck Ben Affleck.
No, Ben Affleck sucks.
Himself. Oh, you were talking to him. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Play us out, brother man.
Yep, here we go.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Fiends Agenda. We'll be back streaming live every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. East Coast U.S. time on Freedom Fiends Radio at freedomfiends.com. MP3 archives of all Freedom Fiends episodes are available free at freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Worms.